You have spoken well, saith the Spirit. Even like my servant Job, you have said the truth about me, that truly I watch over my word to perform it. And I will demonstrate that to you, as I have done in times past, even in this season and in this time. And in individual lives, you will see my mighty hand of wisdom, of power, and of glory, confirming my word. And that which many have thought, oh, I may never see this, or maybe not in our lifetime, maybe not in this time. Thus saith the Lord, I hasten my word to perform it. I hasten the days of the coming of my glory. As you walk with me, as you trust in me, yes, saith the Spirit, I will perform that which I have spoken, as I did to Abraham and Sarah when all hope apparently was lost, as I did to Mary in times of old, and she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Even so now, saith the Spirit, of the promises I have given to you, yea, even the promise of being made manifest in your mortal flesh, say in your heart, be it unto me according to your word, and I will watch over that word, and I will perform it in this lifetime according to my word. For it is not a word that is afar off, saith the Spirit. It is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. And the things of which we speak are not afar off. Yea, the hour is coming, and now is, where every promise that has been spoken and prophesied by my servants in time of old shall be made manifest even now. Therefore, lift up your hearts, lift up your head, for truly your redemption draweth nigh. I do not change. I watch over my word to perform it, saith the Lord. This afternoon I'm going to share a very short prophetic word with us, and Mommy didn't know what I was going to preach, but God has already used her to clear the way. And this will just kind of put it all together. And I've entitled it, Called, Justified, and Glorified. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And let's quickly go to verse 30. It's not the last verse, but it's the last part of a particular discourse. And I'm just going to concentrate on that. And Romans chapter 8, verse 30. There's such a beautiful presence of God here. So we just bow to pray for a minute. Our Father and our God, we enter this word with reverence. We humble ourselves, ask for fresh anointing upon my heart, my lips, so I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that is here, and those who will be listening to me wherever they are all over the world, so that the word will have free course from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in each heart, including my own, causing wills to be more humble, minds enlightened with revelation, emotions more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. We further pray for mercy to be faithful, Lord God, for this word, the power of the Spirit insufficient measure to follow the word. So as people are hearing it, as it's being released into the earth, it will bring healing, it will bring deliverance, it will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy, for faithful delivery, for it to be concise and precise, to speak only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. And everybody in agreement with that prayer, receiving each blessing in their individual life, agreed with me and said, moreover, you need to open your mouth, please. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Everybody say called, justified, glorified. That's your threefold destiny. Let's say called, justified, glorified. The essence of this message is to help us to fulfill God's ultimate purpose for our lives, which is to be glorified. See, God's ultimate purpose for our lives isn't just to be called. And it's not just to be justified. But it is to be glorified. And like I said earlier on, when Mommy came to share, the Bible says, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Now, I've said this many times over the years, when it says prosper, it's not talking just about money. It includes money, of course. But it's talking about prospering in the purpose of God that the prophet is talking about. And that is why God sends prophets or angels, if you like. Like we shared this morning, you know, it says, hark the angel, herald angels sing. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So the angel or the prophet or the priest or the messenger will be echoing what God is saying. And God's purpose is for you to prosper. Now, for you to prosper in that purpose, God sends prophets so that they will come and confirm, clarify, amplify. The purpose of God cannot be fulfilled from what Mommy has shared with us this morning, and also from the Word of God, of course, with the Word of God as a foundation. This glorification will not happen without you having a paradigm shift as it concerns affliction. You must see affliction as a necessary tool, a necessary pathway that you must take unto glorification. When you have that mindset, affliction will no longer be dreadful. Then you can count it all joy. You see it as a catalyst, something that is speeding up the reaction of the glorification. And that's why without it, you know, because of the stubbornness of the satanic nature in the soul and in the body, if God does not add the push of affliction, we will not do the word of God to the degree that we should do it to produce glorification. Now, very briefly, number one, let's talk about called. Who does God call? You know, when I was a young Christian, this was a source of confusion. And it still is. Recently, I was listening to somebody, I won't mention the name, on television. He's a good preacher. And in fact, what he was preaching was good. I gained a lot. You know, one thing God has taught me, and I want to share this here in public, you know, attitude is very important. You know, years ago, I used to have a bad attitude. What I mean by bad attitude, at the time, I didn't realize it was a bad attitude. If I hear somebody talking rubbish, I just switch it off. Or if he says something I think is silly, because don't do that. Even in nonsense, there's sense. He said, listen, there's something I want to tell you. Yes, what he's saying is not right in this particular area, but this other one, take that one. Always learn to take sense out of nonsense. And it takes humility to do that. So what he's saying is about, okay, Lord, teach me from this. So you learn out of nonsense. Even when the thing is one of the things that hindered the faith movement. You know, the faith people will not listen to kingdom people at all. You know why? Because kingdom people said something that were wrong, flat wrong. like, you know, things like the church is going to be here during the tribulation and all kinds of, you know, that we're just going to fly straight into the millennium, you know, and things like that. King of Israel, that's not right. Well, it's not wrong. It's not right. But it's just not incomplete. It's not complete. But it's not wrong. All of it is not wrong. Don't throw away the baby with the bathwater right now. One of the things that really confuses a lot of people is called. Everybody wants to know, what is my calling? What has God called me to do? And people, you know, wringing their heads. You know, am I called to be a pastor? Am I called to be a prophet? Am I called to be this? Am I called to be that? Am I called to be this? Am I called to be that? Am I called to be an engineer? Am I called to be a financier of the gospel? That's what a lot of people like. I'm called to be a financier. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to pray. They don't want to go to mission field. Just, I'm called to be a financier. Praise the Lord. So I can enjoy myself. Many of that is just a cop-out. It's a cop-out. And it's incomplete. Let me use that word rather than the word inaccurate. You know, it's very, very incomplete. Do you know the truth about the matter? We are all called. That is the actual truth. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me quickly say this. We're called to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's the ultimate. Now, as you grow spiritually, like Pastor Kuni was sharing with us during the Bible study, you know, as your character starts getting developed, along the path, God will now call you to do different things. I've said this many before. This is particularly for our young people, you know. And I thank God for, you know, God allowing mommy to use Professor Lockbody as a very good example. It's good to use living, real-life examples. You understand? He's an academic. You know, he's a professor. One of the youngest professors in UI now, to the glory of God. He's been in this church before, you know, from when he was a student. From his undergraduate days. You know, same with Dr. William. Many of them like this. Now, and many of them are professors now and all of that. Now, what are they called to do? Called to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, as they're growing spiritually over the years, do you understand? They are better doctors. They are better academics. Is this clear? But academic is not his ultimate calling. You got to understand this. All are called. Everybody say, all are called. Turn to your neighbor and say, that includes you, incidentally. You like it too. You don't like it too. You are called. Now, I've got a wonderful word for us. And this word God has brought for me, and this is why I feel impressed of the Lord this afternoon to give it now. Like my wife said earlier on, timing is very important. And this is particularly applicable and true for the young people, you know, especially when I was talking about outreach and all of that. Our attitude is everything. Do you know that everybody's called? I'm going to shock you. God called Ayatollah Khomeini. God called Buddha. God called Muhammad. Don't worry. Stay with me. You know the truth? God called everybody. There is nobody God has not called. Psalm 145, it says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Now, watch this. Even though God called everybody, it's not everybody who responds. It is those that respond that become justified. All are called. All are called. And God told me recently, and I want to emphasize this, particularly to the Zion Campus Fellowship, and all of us really, you know, when you talk to people, be like Jesus. Don't look at their religious tag. Look at their heart. If you look at the woman with five husbands, you won't even think she qualifies for a whole Messiah to talk to her.
And you know, Jesus, those days, Jesus told very few people he was the Messiah. He used to hide it. You know, he would tell them, he said, you know, you say, you know, when Peter said, you are, he said, don't tell anybody. He said, you are the Son of God. He said, don't tell anybody. But this woman, he didn't hide. He opened himself up to her. You know why? He wanted to save her. So what we need to learn, dearly beloved, is God looks at the heart. Everybody is called. And this is what God does. And I can say this from my own personal life and experience. And I'm sure this runs through everybody's experience. You have your story. I have my story. Everybody will have their story. This is what God does. He begins to watch the way that heart is responding to truth. The Bible says that the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. But watch this. When they knew God, instead of worshipping him as God, the Bible says their foolish heart became darkened. That means that it was originally enlightened. God calls everybody. Trust me. The Bible is true. He calls everybody. The Bible says this is the true light that lighted every. He didn't say the Christian man. He didn't say the pagan man. He said every man. It just depends on how they respond to the light. God calls everybody. There is nobody God does not call. And when he sees a heart that is responding to truth, it doesn't mean the Christian or he knows the Bible, may not even know the Bible or, you know, or any religious book. But when the man sees truth, he accepts it. When he sees an honest heart, God starts tracking that person. This is kingdom material. He starts to track them. The eyes of the Lord, what? Run to and fro throughout the whole earth. To show himself, what? Strong. On behalf of them, one of the translations says, whose hearts are fully committed. Says an honest heart. Then ultimately, God will now corner them. Like he did for me. He will corner them. Like he did for Paul. Saul. You know, Saul, in all that killing, he didn't kill anybody, but you know, in all that persecution of Christians and all of that, you know, Saul had a good heart. In all that nonsense he was doing what he thought God wanted him to do. And he did it with zeal. God said, this is apostle material. While he was still an unbeliever. And then you know what, God? He arrested him on the road to Damascus. I'm going to tell you something that's very funny. The person who ever first said this to me was my earthly father, my dad. You know, you find it very interesting. You know, my dad is not a pastor or anything like that. But down through the years, he was telling me this some time ago. You know, he was like a lay preacher in the Methodist church. So occasionally he would just go and he would give exhortations and all of that. He wasn't too faithful that he would do it once in a while and all of that. So one day he was sharing with me. You know, my father, he was sharing with me. He said, Olubi, you know, the Bible says that when his son came down and Saul fell off his horse, he says, you know, he said, Lord, who art thou? He said, Olubi, who told him he was Lord? I said, but daddy, that's true, you know. He said, how did he know? You know, he said, Lord, who art thou? But he knew that the person who arrested him was Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering. He didn't know who the Lord was, but you know this Lord. Who told him? He didn't know him. Then he said, I am Jesus, you know, and so on and so forth. The important thing is this. God calls everybody. God calls everybody. There is nobody God doesn't call. You know why? The Bible says that all men are his sheep. It's in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse, the last verse. I think it's verse 31. I won't turn there. You know, you can put it on the screen. Ezekiel 34 says, all men. He said, men, my sheep. Now, the honest sheep, watch this, that become justified. The honest sheep, the sheep that respond to truth in their conscience. They may not know God yet, but they say the truth to them. So when they see the truth, they say it's true in their mind, in their heart. God will say, this one is... One day, God will corner them and get them born again. And what happens is that those sheep, and I can look back at my own personal experience. When I look back, you know, the Bible says, the voice of a stranger, they will not hear. In fact, Jesus said, he said, all that came before me, they are thieves and robbers. He said, but the sheep did not hear them. You know why? The sheep always examine truth. If it doesn't add up, they just withdraw. So something is wrong here. Brother Yomi Bernard sent me something on WhatsApp not too long ago about a Muslim man. This man is still a Muslim as of today, as far as I know. But they were interviewing him on one of these Arabic. He was speaking in Arabic. He was not speaking English. He was being interviewed by another Arab. So he was saying that we Arabs have a problem. That we are always fighting, killing, and all of that. Our people don't read. They are not enlightened. We are always calling Jews pigs and Christians heathen. And we want to kill everybody. He said, how can we progress? This guy is a Muslim. How can we progress if we continue to say this kind of things? He said, we should let our people read. Let their minds become enlightened. So they now asked him, they said, you have a picture of Jesus in your house? He said, yes, I have a picture. He said, look at what Jesus said. That we should love one another. He said, if we did what Jesus said, we would be killing and doing bomb all over the whole place. No gospel, no born again. That's sheep. That's sheep. He just took the facts, examined them in honesty, and came out with this. He said a lot of very, very wonderful things. I just look at it and say, wow. Wow. God has people low. He's calling them. A mighty army is going to arise out of Islam. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And will take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Mark my word. And that's why your own attitude needs to be very, very nice. You know, the guy may be a Muslim now, but he may be an apostle you are looking at. So careful how you talk to him. Ask Peter. When Peter's shadow was healing people on the streets of Jerusalem, Paul was still an unbeliever. It was the same Paul that had to straighten Peter out. Everybody say, all are called. Now, let's quickly go. Justified is clear. Justified means you get born again. Then later on, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me go to glorified. That's the crux of this message. Glorified. Everybody say called, justified, glorified. Ultimately, God wants you to become glorified. Now, when we talk about glorification, you have two ways of understanding this. Both of them are correct and legitimate. The traditional Pentecostal church only sees glorification in terms of the resurrection. When we are resurrected, then we will be glorified. Which is true. It's correct truth. You know? And then even in that glorification, let me quickly expatiate on that. The Bible says, you know, every man in his own order. And one star will differ from another star in glory. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, how can I make this thing simple for the people? He said, did I not say, talking about his sheep, said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Then he now said, the Bible now said, Jesus now was talking to the people who already believe. They're already sheep. They're already justified, in quotes. You know, he said to the Jews who believed in him, he said, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciple indeed. And the word of the Lord came to me. And you know what he said? He said that the degree to which you continue will determine the degree of your glorification. See, many people start with Jesus, get justified. Then they just continue only this far. They don't go out of the outer court. There are others who continue further into the holy place. and they stop there. It won't make you not a Christian. You're a Christian, child of God. But it's going to affect the degree of your glorification. Then others decide to go into the most holy place and get the very best that God, and then they have, the Bible calls, a full reward, a full glorification. And that is the word I bring to you this afternoon. Like mommy has been saying, you know, God wants you to be full, to get the best, to get full glorification. Don't stop at justification. Don't stop at the new birth. Don't stop at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are great things inside God. Then the other part of glorification is glorification in this lifetime. That is the one many Christians are not aware of. Many Christians won't dare to believe it. I like what he was singing this afternoon. You know, the Bible says, you know, that God, he says, you know, they were singing about, you know, the train of his temple fills, the train of his robe fills the temple, you know, and that I see the Lord high and lifted up above the worship of the whole earth. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 40, it says that, you know, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all the earth shall see together. And as we were worshiping, I had a flash. And I'm going to drop it. I saw something. You know what I saw? I saw the mushroom cloud. People know what a mushroom cloud is. When they drop a nuclear bomb, okay, the thermonuclear explosion is so hot and everything, it goes right up in a cloud. It's called that's what they actually call it, because it looks like a mushroom. Like a mushroom cloud. Then the radiation starts to spread. Then the Lord now said to me, he said, when my glory starts to be revealed, there will be, not everywhere, but there will be places where the cloud of God's presence will fill the air. People will be seeing it for miles. They'll be seeing it. And you know what? Some people, God, not everybody, but God will permit some people to see God inhabit the praise of his people. That the Bible says, the glory of the Lord shall and all flesh shall see it together. CNN will try and capture it. But God was just telling me, he said, some of it I won't even allow it to be captured on film. Only the natural eye will see it. They will try, click, 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 it won't work. He said, because they will start to worship it. Great days are ahead. Now, this glory, we're going to close now. Jesus said, the works I do, you will do, and greater works. Then in John chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, this beginning of miracles, and he manifested forth his glory. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, did I not say unto you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? Now, you know what Martha did and Mary? They do the same thing we do today. The same theological dispensational error. Should I say, or incompleteness. He said, your brother will rise again. Immediately they say, yes, we know. Like every Christian today will say, yes, we know. We know he will rise again at the last day. Then you say, you're not getting the point. And I bring this word to you. Many of us has just like that. Yes, we will be glorified. We'll get a glorified body when Jesus comes in the rapture. Correct. But I am the resurrection and the life. Now. There is a glory for now. Just like the glory, the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead 3 days, like a week or week and a half later, God, the Lord Jesus went and he tapped of the powers of the age to come and brought it down to Lazarus. Now, God wants to glorify you now. The glory of God wants to be revealed in you now. He has called you. He has justified you. Now he wants to glorify. Let us pray. He has called you. You have responded to that call. So now you're justified. You're born again. But don't stop there. He said, them that he always called, he justified. Them that he justified, he glorified. I've said this many times over the years. God does not predestinate people, individuals. He predestinates purposes. The purpose of God is for people to be called, justified, and glorified. But it is individuals. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper.
It is individuals that fulfill the conditions. There is a condition for justification. Even though all are called, not all are justified. And even though all are justified, not all will be glorified, sadly. But if you will respond to the call of God, then respond to that justification. Don't take that earnest, that new birth and baptism, and hide it and put it in the earth. Use it so that you may be glorified, not just at the resurrection, but in this lifetime. The Bible says in this lifetime you receive a hundredfold. That's justification, that's glorification. You go and check it anywhere. There is nowhere in this earth you can find one human being who will own 100 houses, 100 lands, 100 mothers, 100 brothers, 100 sisters. That's a very rich man. And how does it come? Through the influence, what Pastor Kone was teaching. Controlling his sphere of influence by the power of the Spirit without measure. Stand to your feet. Called, justified, and glorified. Shepherd of my soul,
I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow.
I have made the choice.
I have made the choice
to listen for your voice. Soul again, shepherd of my soul. Sing it to him. I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow.
I will follow.
I have made the choice. Shepherd of my soul.
Shepherd of my soul
is now my God. Shepherd of my soul.
Shepherd of my soul. Shepherd of my soul. I give you full control.
Wherever you may be,
I will fall.
I have made the choice.
I have made
the hand. Your sheep, we're all sheep, but your sheep have responded to the call. You're not the only one that God called. He called your cousins, he called your, God was speaking to me. My heart almost broke. He said, what is the name of Paul's father? I said, God, I don't know. He said, I didn't record it. He said, what is the name of Paul's mother? I said, God, I don't know. He said, I didn't record it. He said, what was the name of Paul's sister? I said, God, I don't know. He said, I didn't record it. He said, I called all of them. He said, Paul prayed for them. I had mercy. He said, but they didn't respond. Like I wanted them to respond. He said, if they had honored me, I would have put their name in scripture. Is not Joshua the son of Nun? Or Eunice and Lois. We don't know the name of Timothy's father. We don't know the name of Timothy's father. Was it a difficult thing for God to put his name in there? But we know the name not only of his mom, but of his grandmother. Because of the faith. They were all called. But they didn't respond. Raise that hand. Touch your heart. The heart is symbolic of honesty, sincerity. Every day I'm coming to see more and more. This whole Christian thing, the foundation of everything is the heart. And it's not just the heart you do when you get born again. You must maintain that heart. You must make daily. You have to maintain that attitude. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling. It means that Paul had it too before. You don't renounce what you did not have. It means that Paul too played those games for a while. Then he said, I'm not doing this anymore. We have we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craft, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. We commend every man to we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Honesty. What made the difference between Paul and the other? You want to call Paul, God favored him more than anybody else. He was sheep that was responding. He was responding to truth. Even when he was persecuting the church, he was responding to truth as he saw it. God said, this one, he will go far. Put your hand up. Raise the other hand. Called, justified, glorified. How far are you willing to go? Many people, heaven is my goal. Heaven is just want to be justified and go. Don't want to be glorified in this life. We'll be glorified when Jesus comes. No, now. I am the resurrection and the life. Don't be dishonest. The Bible does not just teach of a resurrection that is going to come when Jesus comes. It talks about the resurrection while in the mortal flesh. Don't throw it away. Called, justified, glorified. Talk to God. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come this afternoon. I thank you for this prophetic word that you have told me to change my mindset, my paradigm, so that I will count it all joy when I fall into temptations and trials, knowing that you are using it to ultimately honor me and glorify me. That tribulation will work patience. Patience will cause me to be without defect as I consistently act upon your word, and then you can glorify me. Oh God, I understand. No more will I complain. No more will I murmur. No more will I be sad when I'm faced with challenges. No, Lord, I will count it all joy according to your word through your servant, so that I will move from mere justification to glorification in Jesus' name. Nekato Fredenga. Zerebinkesh to Fredes. Zifriketolomasha. Lipriketo Fredenga Tarasoko. Nekakakakakakokoshekakakakaka. Nekatolomash to Fredes. Lingarokromatolas. Zofrika Kromatolomash to Fredengas. Zofrika Kromatolom. Sheketu Freda. Tolomash to Freshe. Tolomangar Tolomato. Okromatolomash to Fredo Freshe. Number Kromatolomas Kromatolom. Tolomash to Fredufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufruf
In Jesus' name. Put your hand on your body.
Raise your hand to God. This is for our healing and our health. Remember, we're going to do the hepatitis B. If you took it last week, you know, immediately after. But I want us to pray. Pray with understanding. Pray with faith. Faith is seeing the invisible. There are invisible forces in the background that are manipulating physical things. Physics tells us that. One great physicist, Heisenberg, he said, when you first drink the cup of natural sciences, it makes you an atheist. He said, but God is waiting for you at the bottom of the tumbler. This whole universe that we see is only, that the visible one is only 4%. The rest that we don't see, the 96%, we don't see it. The interface between the spirit and the physical realm. Unless you are dishonest. You know what's going on inside your body? The root of every sickness, every disease is cellular. Your DNA and your immune system. If you get them functioning optimally, you will never be sick. The truth. Now touch that body. Raise the other one to God. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I say that by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life and power, I am healed now. And I live in divine healing and health. Sickness and disease. Oh, say it. Sickness and disease have no right. They have no right in my body. And I will not permit them to stay inside my body. Because Jesus took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. Therefore now. I said therefore now. Not next week. I said now. 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 I release resurrection, life and power into my body. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Into my heart, my kidneys, my lungs, all of my internal organs, all the blood vessels, into the DNA of every cell to function error-free, into my immune system so that it will function optimally, error-free, and keep me from sickness and disease. I say with my mouth, I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest in Jesus' name. Amen. Now blow the devil away. Tolomashaga, Tolomongoro, Tolomotofi, 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 Tolomotofi,
je qui t'offre de fraîcheur. L'âme que tu offres, j'offre comme tout le macha. Jacques à Coco, tout le monde t'offre de fraîcheur. J'offre comme Coco, tout le macha. Je qui t'offre de fraîcheur. Zoka en Zakaria. Je qui t'offre, l'offre de l'Est, t'offre l'Ingé, j'offre des gars, j'offre des. Je qui t'offre, l'Ongara, tout le monde t'offre, j'offre des, l'offre de l'Est. Je qui t'offre, j'offre.
In Jesus' name. Join hands with somebody. Let's share you and keep you. I said the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. I said you are going to live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name.
Amen.